what's so important at this level of qi sao, where your unconscious self-defense starts to express itself without you programming a particular drill or whatever, it's more like, okay, we're going to do some freestyle, you're initiating, I'm going to respond and we see what happens. The cheng qi, the forward sticking energy. So we have qi sao, which is sticking hands. Well, the sticking doesn't come from you just maintaining contact. It comes from some pressure that's pushed from the pelvis and dan xian and transmits or conducts all the way up from pelvis to shoulder to elbow to forearm and wrist. And that's where we're sticking, is on the wrist and the forearm. But it's coming from this energy that comes from the dan xian, as opposed to me pushing down with some force on my with my wrist, my hand, and my arms. Right? So if I have forward sticking energy, which is this forward intention on centerline, always pressing against my partner's techniques, the moment they open up a little hole, because there's this constant pressure like water pressing against the dam, is the metaphor I use in class a lot, and the hole opens up in the dam, then that water doesn't think, oh, should I go through this? Its nature is to move into the space. Mm-hmm. And through osmosis, all the, you know, the rest of the water follows. So for us, it's like that impetus to fill a space is always sprung loaded in the qi sao. And when my partner, you know, gives me an opportunity or leaves a hole open, I will fill that space with proper technique. And I'll do it without having to think about it. Okay, so qi sao and the forward cheng qi, really, really critical. Critical for the unconscious expression of all your training to come out naturally. Without that, if I have my hands and I'm doing, you know, qi sao with somebody and then their hands move or leave or there's a hole, but I don't have any forward energy pressing into there, I'll feel, oh, there's an empty space here. What should I do? Because there's no hands there anymore. There's just this emptiness. And then I've got these two hands on the center line like, well, geez, I could sort of do anything. But again, it doesn't come out right away. So it's going to be too slow. And then whatever you decide may not be the right technique.
Well, and also in an actual martial situation, I mean, when we start qi sao, we're standing still, but in an actual martial situation, is most likely going to be forward energy coming towards you.
Yeah.
And so if you're not, also just from that basic point, if you don't have an engaged forward intent,
yeah,
the person's going to plow through you.
Well, exactly. And again, you know, in a fight, yeah, there's movement towards each other, right, to do harm. So. But what we do is we train to have this forward intention coming from our dan xian,
yeah,
right, the core of our body, instead of my upper shoulders, back, neck, arms, fists. So I'm not pressing down with force, with rigid energy.
Yeah.
I'm spring-loading energy from my core through relaxed structure.
Yeah.
So what I have is you know, it'll feel very different, but my structure will actually be stronger using cheng qi coming from the pelvis than someone's force coming from their upper body muscles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But the thing is that I'm still going to be have the ability for sensitivity and change because my arms are relaxed. They're locked almost into a position because they're forcing with muscle tension.
Mm-hmm.
So if they try and force something, I'm going to be able to change really quickly and hit, whereas they're going to be stuck in these sort of like fixed muscle contracted positions, and then they'll want to, you know, punch with this rigidity, right? So again, I'm going to have advantages there. Mm-hmm. And one of the beautiful things, you know, in our Mokjong wooden dummy training is, you know, when we work the dummy, we're basically training against something big, solid, and rigid.
Yeah.
Right? And right on contact, we change. Right? If you feel anything that's too rigid, you just keep changing the line and then counterattack on a new angle. So that's what we do. We try and force somebody through better structure and forward cheng qi energy to get them to sort of like tense up a bit because they feel this really intense energy coming towards them, but it's relaxed. But for them, because they haven't trained cheng qi, their typical response, stress response, is going to be to go tight, and then I got them.
Yeah.
Right? Then they're in the Wing Chun trap.
Then they're the dummy.
Yeah. And I play the dummy. Except yeah. This one I get to hit.
Yes.
Got it? So again, that's the linkage with the cheng qi, the forward sticking energy, and the qi sao, the sticking hands. That sticking energy doesn't come from pushing the hands. All I want to do is make sure that my arms are going forward, straight line, center line, and the cheng qi is pushing behind that. And then I wait. I do my basic roll with, you know, the tan cell, fuk cell, bong cell. I'm just waiting.
Yeah.
Waiting for a hole to emerge. Whether my forward chong chi is going to open up their structure or they're going to get tense. So that really speaks about Wing Chun fight strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I want to either open up the center line, having better structure in forward chong chi so I can hit them, or I want to force them to leave center line.
Mm-hmm.
In which case my straight line is going to get there sooner, right? Or I'm going to force them into tension, which is I can move around them like the mukjong. So these are basically the three scenarios in terms of fight philosophy in Wing Chun that we train for, to create for ourselves, but then to be successful at it. I do not, as much as I can, I do not engage in any other fight scenario than that, because I don't have the training for that. That's why I never initiate.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I initiate, I'm basically giving an opening to somebody. So I want to wait for them to come to me, whether it's in Chi Sao or a fight or whatever else, so I can now correspond
mm-hmm.
with my respond to it. So again, one of the sayings we have in our system is, he moves first, I hit first. So what that means is, we follow that. So we always make sure that if we're going to get into a confrontation, number one, we're never the aggressor, which is just a really amazing ethical, moral thing to do,
mm-hmm.
and have that base, as a principle in the system, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then with that, we also train that, okay, you may move first, but I'm going to hit first. And so we train for that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always responding to, and I've said this in class many times before, your training in Wing Chun and the nature of the art and then the expression of it in a fight is that your opponent is always going to determine how you are going to hit them. I'm not gonna have a plan. All I know is I'm gonna go to center line and get contact. And from that point on, it's the other person, basically whatever they do, that's gonna decide how they're gonna get hit, based on a movement, an angle, whatever else, because my Wing Chun will find the hole, I'll fill the space with the appropriate technique, and I won't know what that is until it actually shows up in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that's the brilliance of this martial art, and the simplicity of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's complex,
yeah.
Right, in terms of the training and all the things you need to do,
yeah.
And it's certainly not easy,
mm-hmm.
but it's simple in terms of what you're trying to actually accomplish. Right, center line, center line, center line.
Yeah.
I never get hit, I hit any time I want. So, what else do I want to say about the Chi Sao? We talked about sensations being the key factor. So, anytime our eyes are open, it's almost impossible to stop the visual information getting processed in our brain and taking up some space.
Mm-hmm.
So we do the blindfolded Chi Sao. So what that does is it allows us more bandwidth to really drop into felt sense of what's going on and to not have the distraction of the visual. So we get to really cultivate that skill and really deepen those neural pathways of really noticing subtle changes in someone's balance, or if they're on or off center line, or if it's rigidity or relaxation or whatever it is. Right. So that is more the more advanced sort of level.
Mm-hmm.
of the training, is you put the blindfolds on, and the only rule is you don't disengage, right?
Yeah.
And you can say, well, what are you going to do if someone disengages? It's like, great, I guess they don't want to fight.
Yeah.
Right. But as a training method, it's like, as long as I have contact, I can find you, even if you start moving around me. As long as I've got an arm, and this is where your Chi Sao training helps you, but also the mukjong, because the mukjong always delivers. You just follow the arms right to the hit. Right. So as long as I have at least one arm, if not two, I know exactly where the center line is. Even as it's moving, my arms will just continue to find it, because I'm using the other person's arms or limbs as pathways or guides into mm-hmm. the sweet spot. Because I know that path so many times from the practice, or also playing on the mukjong.
So is the idea with the blindfold then, when you take it off, you've learned somehow to listen, be more sensitive to your
yeah.
to your tactile sense over your
yeah.
visual sense, so
yeah,
you don't put as much credence in the visual,
yeah, and you can have more confidence. And yeah. this is the thing, like I do this in class sometimes without having to put the blindfold on. Like, we'll give a drill in Chi Sao, and people are doing it, and they're doing step one, step two, and step three, and they're really engaged in sort of left brain, right brain, left brain, right brain, you know, back and forth, trying to think about it to remember, but then also want to feel it to see if it works. And so they're in that struggle of going back and forth, right?
Yeah.
And after, you know, I see that they've done it enough times, they have the rudimentary movements. I'll either come up to them and I'll engage them with the chi sao and I'll say, go, don't think about it. And then they'll do something is like, oh my God, wow, that was like 10 times better than me thinking about doing it.
Yeah.
It just comes out. Or, you know, I'll just playfully walk by somebody while they're training and I'll give them a little lan sao and, you know, then all of a sudden their chunk cue turns and they got the zhong sao out. And it's like, so where'd that come from?
Yeah.
Right? You didn't train that directly. No. Or this really funky footwork will come out. You know, I take their balance. You know, it's something that you would only see maybe playing on the mukjong, but someone who's doing chung kyu can now do that because the principles of my balance, structure, all of that have been trained. The body just naturally finds that place. Right. So at some point in time, we have to get the left brain out of the way of the right brain's complete brilliance.
Mm-hmm.
So this is sort of one of the other paradoxes, you know, like I say to beginners, you really are much better than you think you are, but you're still not that good. Okay, so you're not that good because you're a beginner, but you're much better than you think you are when you're training, because you're thinking when you're training, you're not just pure experience, pure
right.
authentic, spontaneous movement, which is where your martial brilliance is.
Right.
So it's always good for them to remind themselves of that and just to have some playful experiences, you know, where it's not so much programming left brain. It's just like, okay, come and do something and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, just to sort of see, okay, what can come out of me?
Yeah.